We are up to Divrei Hayamim, Aleph Perek Chof Ches. We're up to the end of Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yutes. A very famous Pasuk. Pasuk Yutes, Perek Chof Ches, Koach. Chof Ches, Pasuk Yutes. The Pasuk begins, Akol B'chsav, Miyad Hashem, Olai Hiskil, Kol Malachoy Satavnis. In this Pasuk, David is stating that the blueprints for the Beis HaMikdash were given to him in writing. Now, I'm telling you one interpretation. We're going to see that it's not so simple. Perek Chofches, Chofches. Perek Chofches. Chofches Pasuk Yutes. David here is telling Shlomo that I presented you with the blueprints. He's summarizing basically everything that it said in the beginning of the parak. I presented you with the blueprints for the Beis HaMikdash. I presented you with the money, with the gold, the silver, all of the utensils, all the different types of gold. I already have divided Klal Yisrael into various groups among the Kohanim, among the Levim, among the Israelim. I've appointed different people to different positions. Everything is ready to go. And now he makes it clear to his son Shlomo, don't make a mistake and think that what I've done is on my own. Everything that I have done was alpi ruach hakodesh, was with a consultation with Shmuel Hanavi. And in fact, I have here a document. This was the Megillah that I mentioned to you in the beginning of the parak. Vayidin David l'Shlomo es tavnis ulam v'yazbatav. There was a Megillah. Now, when I told you in the beginning when we started the parak, and I told you there was a Megillah, that really comes from this pasuk Yutes, where it says bichsof, that it is in writing. The word ksav did not appear until now. I just was referring to what it said here. And everything that's in writing is al pi ruach hakodesh. So let us see right away. Let us give you the gist of the different the interpretations of this pasuk. The question is, who wrote the book? Is it that Shmuel Hanavi wrote the book, wrote this Megillah with all of the blueprints and all of the requirements, and gave it to David, and now David is transmitting that to Shlomo? Or no, Shmuel gave over the information orally to David, and David is now putting in writing the details and giving it over to Shlomo. Very big difference in how you translate the pasuk. When it says Hakol Bichsav, where do you put the comma? Is it Hakol Bichsav Biyad Hashem comma? Meaning that the ksav goes together with Miyad Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, wrote it down. Hashem didn't actually write it down. Hashem instructed Shmuel, who was the chief Navi, and Shmuel wrote it down through the command of Hashem. So it's the word of Hashem that has been put in writing through Shmuel, and Shmuel gave it to me, and now I'm giving it to you. So the word Miyad Hashem is connected to the word Bichsav. That's what appears to be the more popular interpretation. We do connect the word Bichsav and Miyad Hashem together with the word Bichsav. However, not everyone agrees that that's interpretation. Maybe we'll see the Radak in a moment. Make sure to try to find inside different interpretations. But others of Pefarshim learned that no, Hakol Bichsav, David is now saying to Shlomo, I know there's an information overload. I've told you quite a bit of information about exactly how to build a Beis HaMikdash. I told you all the details, and obviously all the details over here were presented, we record here in the Psukim, but David told Shlomo all the details, and Shlomo says, you know, I know I'm a smart guy, I'm Chacham Mikol Adam, but I know maybe I forgot one or two details. Maybe you can put that in writing. Send me an email with all the information. No, they don't. That's the difference.
David is an experienced writer.
That's the difference between Sifrei Nevi'im and Sifrei Ksuvim. Sifrei Nevi'im is Nivsif Asam. A Navi is someone who's meant to give over their words. Words are given over orally. And Ksuvim, the Ksuvim are things which were meant to be put in writing from the very beginning. So in Echonami, that's the difference between Navi, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The words of the Nevi'im were never really meant to be put in writing. They're words that were given over to the Tzibur, and for the purpose to preserve their words, we put it in writing.
Others wrote it.
Sometimes Navi also wrote it, but That was not the primary objective of their words. Their words were related at the time when they were spoken for specific people. They were messages. Ksuvim were things that were never meant to be spoken. They were things that were meant to be put in writing and studied and passed down to the next generation and to all generations. Okay, so this is the two basic interpretations of how to read. Let's see right away. Now we have to also understand the end of the pasuk. Alai his skill means that whatever it is, whether it was whoever wrote it, whether Dover wrote it or whether Shmuel wrote it, David does say that the words are subject to interpretation. The words of this tradition of what it says are the Megillah, the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. Olai Hiskil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave David extra dosage of Siyata Deshmaya to understand. Hiskil is one of the words of understanding. Dea Bina V'Haskel.
Seichel.
So David needed special Seichel to understand the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. Call all Malachois HaTavnis, all of the details. Malachois here means the workings of the image, all of the details. The devil is in the details. I guess over here you loosely translated the details of the tavnis, of the blueprints of the image. Everything I required great understanding to understand how they all come together and how to see the big picture, how everything works. Now let's right away see the mefarish, the mitzvot in the mitzvot and the mefarish, and let's see different interpretations. Let's see the mitzvot pasuk yotes. Hakol b'chsavrat l'amar kei namar David l'shlamo hinei l'cho hakol mitzvot b'chsav. I've told you all the information orally, but I'm also giving it to you in writing. Asher miyad Hashem olai hiskil, ratzolaymar, asher boho elai miyadoi, lahaskileni, to understand, kol melecha satavne shalbayis v'chol kelav. From the Mitzudas, it's not perfectly clear, but from the Mitzudas it appears that he learns that David was the first one to put this in writing. Hashem relay to him through Ruach HaKodesh exactly how the Beis HaMikdash should look, and now David is giving this over to Shlomo. He's afraid Shlomo's not going to remember every single detail. So now he says one more time the words. What's the Kain Amar David LeShlomo? Hinei Lecho HaKol Mesuder B'Ksav. I'm now going to give you the details of the Mikdash in writing. Where did I get all of this information from? I'm interpreting the Mitzudos. It could be that I'm wrong, but this is one approach to read the Mitzudos. I share the details that are presented here in this document. Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil has been endowed to me through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ratzolai Masher Bo Elai Miyado. This information has come to me from Hashem through the Nevi'im. Lahaskileni, Hashem has blessed me with the understanding to decipher, to comprehend, call Meleches HaTavnis, all of the details of the image. Shalabayis. Okay, so David appears to be writing. According to them, there's a way we can learn HaKol B'Chsav, so that would mean that we put a comma. Okay, we put a comma in the pasuk. Kol b'chsav, everything I'm giving over to you in writing. Period. And how? Now David continues into Shlomo. Shlomo, don't think I made this up. None of this I made up. Everything that I'm giving over to you, which I'm going to write down for you, came to me through Ruach HaKodesh, Miyad Hashem. It was from Hashem, and it wasn't easy. When Hashem gave over these details, Olai Hiskil, Hashem endowed upon me understanding to understand, call Mal Achois Hatavnis the details. Look at the Mefarish now. Pasuk Yutes, different. Hakol B'Chsav Pisron. Hakol b'chsav sider lo. Everything was arranged for Shlomo in writing. Skum, the total of mishkal or mishkal shall call kli u kli. Then he goes on to say, who is the one that did this? Shmuel haroeh. The Mefarish says the one that wrote everything down was not me. Shmuel haroeh, who is the prophet, put it in writing and he gave it to me. And I now am in turn are giving it over to you. Call Malachos HaTavnis, Tavnis Habayis, the Shmuel HaNavi, he taught me the form, the image, the form of the Beis HaMikdash. Chachmeni v'hiskileni, he enlightened me. He made me wise and he made me smart. Kimos Tavnis Arich Varicha, for example, all the different dimensions, like he gives the Harabayas. I'm not really clear. I don't know. Maybe you can help me with this. I don't know what he means over here. How large is the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount? It's 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Now today it's actually bigger. Today, to go to the Har Habayis, Hordis expanded the Har Habayis. Hordis today, the Temple Mount, the walls are there. The walls, not necessarily the original walls along all the four sides, but the walls are there, which pretty much mark out Temple Mount, and it's larger than 500 Amos by 500 Amos, because Hordis expanded the Temple Mount. The question is, does the part that he expanded, does it also have sanctity, or does the extra part does not have the same sanctity? Okay, that's a separate discussion, but originally, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Temple Mount was exactly 500 Amos. Where does that come from? The image of the length and the width, the goyva and the height, everything Shmuel was doyresh from the Torah, beruach hakodesh. Kamosh shaninu har habayis hayuchamish meos ama alchamish meos ama. Now I don't understand what this means. Maybe you could explain this to me. Darash, how did Shmuel Haroi come to that conclusion? Darash, he looked at the chotzer, the courtyard. Now the courtyard is not the har habayis. The chotzer hamishkan is well. I take that back. We have the Azara. The Chotzer HaMishkan is really the Azara. It's not, I'm taking it back. The Chotzer HaMishkan in the Beis HaMidrash, 50 by 50, is really the equivalent of the Azara. Right? We have the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim are surrounded by the Chotzer. What is the Chotzer? The Chotzer is what we, in the, upgraded to the Beis HaMikdash, is the Azara. There was no Temple Mount, there was no Har Habayis in the Mishkan. However, Shmuel took the pasuk that said that's written with regard to the Chotzer, and he used that pasuk as a source to discover that the Temple Mount, the Har Habayis, should be 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Now the calculation here is a little, I don't understand, but I love you what it says. Ha'chamesh ames ama, ha'chamesh ames ama, darash orech ha'chotzer me'a ba'ama. The orech ha'chotzer, the azar, is 100 long, me'a ba'ama. The roichav, the width was chamishim ba'chamishim. 50 by 50. Now, 50 by 50 means, it's a fancy way of saying that it's 50 amos wide. And this is a unique expression, there's some redundancy. All it needed to say in the pasuk was that the courtyard was 100 amos long by 50 amos wide. Why did the pasuk express the width 50 by 50? To make a calculation, 50 by 50 is 2,500 amos. Now, 2,500 amos... 25 square amos. Now, how does 25 square amos result in an area of 500 amos by 500 amos? So he explains here. We help with this. Rechav chamishim b'chamishim, chamishim pam chamishim, heim chof hei meos. Nira li. Nischakeim, I was endowed with wisdom to reach the conclusion l'chomesh ritzuos, to divide this up into five strips. I guess this is what it means. You take 2,500 amos and you divide it into five strips. Lios chomesh meos al chomesh meos. Anyone get that? You have 2,500 amos, 50 by 50. 50 by 50 is 2,500 amos, 2,500 amos. Divide that into five. And make the perimeter, and how does it work? You make a perimeter of five. If you take that and you divide that strip, maybe that's what it means. Okay, I have to go do something. I'm not too good with numbers. Make a calculation. Maybe what he means is you divide that up into five parts, and you use it as a perimeter, a measurement, and the result will somehow come out to 500 amos, at least maybe one side, 500 amos by 500. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know what it means exactly. But the point is that David is telling Shlomo, I'm giving you the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. There are a lot of new things that we're going to add into the Beis HaMikdash that do not appear in the Mishkan. Do not think for one moment that I made this up on my own. Everything was given over to me by Shmuel the Navi, and Shmuel himself only knew these new details and these new dimensions through a combination of darshaning Ruach HaKodesh and finding hints, allusions to these details in the Torah that's said by the Mishkan. And then he brings down a krevetz, which I don't know where it is. I can't find this in my Siddur. V'hu miyusa b'sil krevetz shel Shabbos Chanukah. Okay, a krevetz is suddenly you add into the Shemoneh Esrei. You have Dr. Fruchter, you have the calculation? Dr. Fruchter, I see you doing some numbers.
Yeah, the number is...
You get to 500 by 500?
It would be 100 times more, the square...
Right.
I know. So what does it mean? 50 by 50, right? So it's you're going from 50 by 50 to 500 by 500. So what does it mean? So it's 25. And what does it mean? Five strips. I don't know. So when you divide the five strips, I don't know. It's lost for me what it means. But it's alluded to in the Torah, and also you can find more details in the krevetz for Shabbos Chanukah. Krevetz is something that you put into the Shemoneh Esrei. It's aired into the Shemoneh Esrei before the Shliach Tzibur concludes the bracha. The Tzibur says on Purim. Many people say it on Purim. The krevetz is Purim every single bracha. Purim, correct.
Very old.
That's probably the most popular krevetz. People actually say that in some many shuls. But the krevetz for the Yom Tovim, people do not say. And this he refers to a krevetz that was in Chanukah. It's not in the article, so it does not have the krevetz for Chanukah. And there there's a nusach that says a maschil Menashe Sefraim. Ephraim it's Menashe. And there it says there I don't know what it says there. It says something about this idea that everything was endowed to. Was given to David to Ruach HaKodesh. They are called Dara Shmuel Baruch HaKodesh V'lamad. Everything was darshan by Shmuel Aben Raya Baruch HaKodesh V'limei David Cain, and he taught David this. Okay, let's go further. So these are the two basic interpretations of how you learn the pasuk. Hakol B'Sam Yad Hashem. Do you take the words Yad Hashem and do you connect it to the Ksav, or do you put a comma after the Ksav? Who is the one that wrote this Megillah? If you look in the Targum is not. Let's see. Let's just look at the Targum because it's a very popular pasuk. Test. Kola b'chsava miyod da Hashem hava olai. Now, where do you put the comma in the Targum? It's also not so clear. Everything was b'chsav miyod da Hashem hava olai le'ista kola b'chol avidas tzudasa. It's not clear. Who's the one who wrote the document? Was it a document written by Shmuel or was it a document written by David? Let's see what the Radak says. What?
Enlightened.
It was enlightened, right? That's the words Olai Hiskil. That the word Histakla is a reference to Olai Hiskil. But where did he put the comma? Where is the Targum putting the comma in the pasuk? Hakol b'chsav comma, or is it Hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem comma? It's not clear. Let's see the Radak. The Radak pasuk Yotes Hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem perush hinei lucha Hakol b'chsav misudar kemo shuhu miyad Hashem al kol malachoy satavnis. From the Radak, it appears that it is David who put it in writing. According to the Radak, you put a comma after Hakol B'Chsav. David is saying to Shlomo, I am now going to write down for you all of the details. And where did I get these details? I received it orally by Shmuel, but he did not give me the Megillah. So who wrote the Megillah? Who's the author of the Megillah? That's the very big question. If we do find, I told you about the Dead Sea Scrolls, they did find a Megillah. There's even a name for the Megillah that describes in very great detail what the Beis HaMikdash should look like. The problem with that Megillah that they found is it does not conform. There are some major discrepancies and there are some things that are very strange. It does not conform to what we know about the Beis HaMikdash. So either we just don't understand how to interpret it, or maybe it's not authentic. Maybe this was written by the Tzedokim. There was some corruption, some perversion of... It's not a real document. But there is, and this is a fascinating document that I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the only one that's in perfect condition. That's how I remember. My barrel, from who did I hear this from? From Schneer Lyman. It's one of the only ones that is in perfect condition from the Dead Sea Scrolls, this Megillah Beis HaMikdash. And right away, the first thing all of the scholars referenced is this pasuk. That was the first reference point, is HaKol B'Chsav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil, a reference to this Megillah. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayomer David L'Shlomo V'No. David says to Shlomo's son, Chazak V'Ematz, be strong, two expressions of being strong. Va'asei, and do what I tell you to do. Ve'al tiro, do not be afraid. Ve'al techos, do not be dismayed. Do not become weak. Ki Hashem Elokim, ki Hashem Elokim Elokai imach. Three expressions. Hashem Elokim, who is my God, imach is with you. Lo yarpecha, ve'lo yazveka. He will not weaken you and will not abandon you. Ad lichlos kol melechas avodas beis elok beis Hashem, until you conclude all of the work. In other words, don't start and don't finish. We all see driving on the road different construction projects which start and they remain a skeleton. They never make it to the very end. I don't want it to be some building campaign where you start doing construction and all of a sudden, in the middle of the construction campaign, all of a sudden, we have to stop, we have to collect some more money. Make sure you carry out the construction to the very end. I have already divided the Kohanim Levim for all their divisions, all of the services that they will provide in the Beis HaMikdash, and they are with you. You're not alone. You can have a lot of help. With you, b'chol melacha, for all of the work that needs to be done, l'chol nodiv, all of the people who have been generous to give of themselves, of their skills and talents, b'chochma, with their wisdom, l'chol avoda, of all the avodavi, hasarim, l'chol am, l'chol divarecha, and the princes, and the people, they are available, l'chol divarecha, for your every command. Don't, you're not alone. Don't make a mistake and think that you have to do this by yourself. Everyone is willing to help you. You'll have a lot of help. Do not worry. Do not be overwhelmed by the task. They're at your command. Okay, that includes the
advisors.
That includes, let's see over here, the Mitzudos and the Rashi. And then, okay, the Mitzudos and Pasek Chof. Al tira lachshav shlatucha ligmar esakol. Do not be afraid to think that you're not going to be able to conclude the entire mission. Ad lechalois, ad asher tashlim esakol. Don't stop in the middle. Pasuk chafalef luchol avodas hamufkadim luchol avodas beisolakim. With you are many people that are there here to assist you. The imcha. With you, heim you imcha lazor b'chol melacha l'chol nadiv eskol mehem asher nadvu libo b'chochma lahaskil. All of the people that have devoted their wisdom. It's one thing to devote your money. It's another thing to devote your time. But it's another thing, it's a third thing to devote your talent. To give over your skills, to make them available for the service. They are available to fulfill your words, your every command. They are prepared. Lasos es kol divarecha. Let's see the mitzud, the Rashi, the Mefarish pasuk chaf chazak neimatz kedei shetiskayim malchuscha. According to the Mefarish, he's telling him something different. According to the Mefarish, this instruction is that your malchus,
strengthen your mouth.
Is not like the mitzud that he's telling Shlomo to be strong and to fulfill this mission of building the Beis HaMikdash. There are two separate things that are happening here. Shlomo is becoming king. A king has a responsibility to take care of his people. That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Until now, there was no Beis HaMikdash. There was a Mishkan in Shiloh, in Noiv, Givon, Gilgal. There was not a big deal. Here, Shlomo has two roles to fulfill. Number one, to lead Klal Yisrael in his role as Melech. Number two, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. According to the Mefarash, the instruction to be strong is the instruction for the Malchus, not for the Beis HaMikdash. Shevticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achinosi Malchusu Ad Olam. Hashem has promised that I will establish Malchus Ad Olam im yachazik lasos mitzvosai, if you'll be strong to my commandments. Very interesting. So I guess the Rashi is taking this because the word hachinos, he's taking it from, I guess, chazak v'yamatz. Chazak v'yamatz is an expression he needs for the Malchus, not for the Beis HaMikdash. And now, according to the Mefarash, now he goes on to tell Shlomo, do not worry, you have at your hand all the division heads. I have prepared, with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, I have prepared everything for you. Do not hold back right away. To do your command. Okay, pasuk aleph. Next parak chavtes. Okay, now David, after he speaks to Shlomo, he speaks to the entire Klal Yisrael, and he says to them as follows: Shlomo v'ni echad. Shlomo, my son, is one. Bochar bo Elokim, Hashem has chosen him. Now there are two interpretations for the word echad. Either it means he is unique, he's one of a kind. He is one. He is the unique one. He is the one who Hashem has chosen. No one else. It's not. That's one interpretation. Or the other interpretation, Echad, is that he's a weak person. He's only one person, and the mission I've given him requires hundreds of people. Even 1,000 people could not fulfill this role. So we'll see the Mefarsh and the Mesudas in one moment. But keep that in mind. Two different ways to translate the word Echad. He is one. Baruch Aboy Elokim. Hashem has selected him. He is Nahar Voroch. He's young and weak. At this point in time, he was only 12 years old. We'll see the Radak in a moment. He makes the calculation. The mission I have assigned him is great, greater than he can do. Kilo la'adam habira. The bira, now this is a unique, here for the first time in Tanakh, we have the word bira in reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Bira means a building. That's not the way the Mikdash is described. If I'm not mistaken, only twice in Tanakh is the Beis HaMikdash described with this unusual word, Bira. It's very common in the Gemara. The Gemara in the Mishnah, it's called Bira, but not in Tanakh. And here it's called Bira. Lo le'adam ha-Bira. The building is not for man. Ki la-Hashem Elokim, but it's for Hashem. In other words, we'll see the Mesudas in the Rashi in a moment. What Shlomo David is telling the Klal Yisrael is, you're going to start to build the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to realize that it's too much. The work that needs to be done is more than we can handle. So you will be tempted to scale it down, to make the building a little smaller, not as elaborate. You don't need that much gold, that much silver. Make the harabayas smaller. Make the different chambers smaller. Along comes David and David. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're planning to do. You need to scale down the blueprints. Don't you dare. Because this building is not for human beings. If it was for a human being, you're right. How big does a king need his palace to be? So if it's too much work, if you can't afford to build such a nice house, so you build a simpler house. But being that this structure is for Hashem, is for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have no right to scale down the structure. This is what he is warning them in this pasuk.
Gave two interpretations for the word Echad.
Okay, would we go over that?
But Navarach adds meaning
to one of the right. Absolutely. That is why one of the reasons why that interpretation is a better interpretation, because it fits better with Navarach. He's Navarach, and he's only one person, so you're gonna have a very difficult time in accomplishing this mission. Nevertheless, it's too bad. It's too bad. Ki lo le adam habira. The building is not being made for man. It's being made ki la Hashem Elokim. Pasuk Beis uvechol kechi hachinosi. And David says to Klal Yisrael, don't let me down. When I die, I don't want to hear in the next world that you scale down my great plan for Klal Yisrael, because I invested everything that I had. All of my energy was invested in this project. Uvichol kechi hachinosi. I made the preparations. The base lokai hazahav. I set aside gold lazahav for the gold utensils. Via kesef. I set aside silver la kesef for the utensils that need silver. V'hanuchoyshes tanuchoyshes habarzel la barzel v'hoetzim lo etzim. And now he doesn't say. Now he just gives a general description. I've also set aside the avnei shoham. Those are the stones that appear on the ephod, on the shoulders, umiluim, the stones that appear on the choshen, avnei puch, colored stones. Puch means colored. One of the words used by a woman is she puts puch in her eyes. Eye makeup, different colors. Go to a department store and see how many different shades of whatever you can get for makeup. So puch means different colored stones, avnei puch, stones of color, virikma, embroidery, materials, v'chol evan, yikara, all precious stones, the avnei shayish, marble, the rope. David says, I've set aside everything that we need. Pasuk gimel, v'od b'ritzosi, b'veis Hashem. Not only that, b'ritzosi, in my goodwill. It was my goodwill, v'od f'edma b'ritzosi, it was my goodwill, b'veis alokai, concerning this beis alokai, this beis hamikdash, the house of my God. Yesh li segula zahav v'chesed. I have at home a personal treasure of gold and silver, and I'm donating it to the Beis HaMikdash. Nosati leveis elokai, limala. In addition, limala means above and beyond. Above and beyond, mikol hachinosi lebeis hakadosh. All of the other things that I have prepared for the beis hamikdash. So David of Yehuda, how much does that money come to? Pasuk dalit shloishes alafim kikrei zahav, 3,000 talents of gold. What kind of gold? The best. Mizahav Ophir. You have this very often in Sefer Yeshaya. Yeshaya talks about the gold of Ophir. Where is Ophir? It's not exactly clear. Something, I mean, it's in Turkey. Someone is in the place, it's in the area in Turkey. Different interpretations of where is Ophir, but it was the highest quality gold. The Shivas Alofim Kikar Kesef. 7,000 talents of silver. Mizukok, purest, the purest refined. Latuach, what are we going to use these talents of gold and silver for? Latuach kiros habotim, to plate the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. What is problematic with this pasuk is that we do not find in the building of Shlomo they plated any of the walls with silver. All of the walls were only plated with gold. And here it explicitly says it was meant to be plated with part of the walls with silver. So either there are more things about the Beis HaMikdash that we do not know. Indeed, there were parts that were plated with silver. Or Shlomo upgraded David's plan. Even though David only called for plating certain chambers with silver, Shlomo added more gold, and they had enough material to plate those rooms with gold as well. So not only did Shlomo not downgrade David HaMelech's plan, Shlomo HaMelech in fact upgraded David's command. Furthermore, what else did David, what did he say? Pasuk Hey, Lazav, Lazav, Lakesef, Lakesef. I've given gold for the goldsmiths. But Lakesef here does not mean for the gold utensils, because that already said in the previous pasuk. Here it means I've given gold for the goldsmiths, for Lakesef, Lakesef, L'chomalachim, Yad Harashim. I've given all the materials for all the different forms of labor in the hands of all of the craftsmen, Umi, and I've given it over to those who, Misnadev, who have donated, have given of themselves, L'malos, Yado, to produce, lamalas to it's an expression, to fill up their hand. Fill up their hand means to give of themselves. Hayom lahashem. Now before we go further, there's a beautiful drush that when a person gives, it's natural to feel that you've lost, your hands are empty. If you have pockets, or your hands are full of money, and you take the money in your hand and you give it to a poor man, you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, you give it to a worthy cause, your hands are empty. Okay, so in the next world, I will receive reward. The pasuk here tells us, if a person is generous, you're really filling up your hands. Umi misnadev, when a person is misnadev, misnadev means to give. What are you doing when you're giving? You're not emptying your hands, you're filling up your hands. The greatest way you can fill up your hands is to give, not to take. Lemalos yado. Okay, let's see now the Mitsudos and Rashi. A lot of these psukim are very hard. They're very hard to translate literally, and the Mitsudos and Rashi do provide a lot of interpretation. Let's see Pasuk Aleph in the Mitsudos. Echad. The first thing David said is that my son Shlomo is one. What in the world does that mean? He's one. Of course, he's one. Is he Siamese twins? What does it mean? He's one. Ka'oimer ve'ein yuchal echad. The eich yuchal echad le'esoif hoin rav kol kach livnos beis Hashem. It's impossible for one person to collect such the needs, the materials for this structure. Boch aboy elokim, he's only one, and it's impossible for one person. And Hashem has selected af bo, and furthermore, bochar the af bo bochar limloich al Yisrael. Furthermore, he has a job. He has a full time day job. What's his job? He is the king. A king is very busy. So if you're a king, you're busy. You don't have time for a project to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'yaf b'bocha limloich al Yisrael v'yitrod me'od b'dvar hamalucha. What else is there? What other problems do we have? He's nar v'rach. He's just a kid. He's only 12 years old. He's not even bar mitzvah. He doesn't even wear tefillin. He still wears sneakers. Doesn't wear a hat. He's a spoiled kid. That's what it says here. He's a spoiled kid. He doesn't know what it's like, the real world. He has not been tested to work hard. So we have three strikes against Shlomo. That's what David is telling Klal Yisrael. I'm about to die. I'm on my deathbed. I'm about to die. And here this 12-year-old spoiled brat, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, 12-year-old kid, he's young, he's rach, he's spoiled, and he's going to be very busy when he becomes king. They're going to teach him how to be the melech. And to build the base, I mean, you need trillions of dollars. It's impossible. It's impossible for him to do this. So therefore, I'm telling you, Klal Yisrael, you better help him out. You better help him out. Furthermore, why? Kilol Adam, next words of the Mesudas, Loibav word Tzorich Adam Nase Habayis. So what are you going to say? I'm going to die. He's going to take over. First thing you're going to do is you're going to cancel this project. It's going to be canceled because it's just not practical to be done. I'm telling you now, don't you dare. Because this project is not for the country. It's for Hashem. And when it comes to Hashem, there are different standards. You don't cancel it. Kilol Adam Loibavur Tzorich Adam Nase Habayis Kim La Hashem. V'yim Kain Mehatzorech Lefahara Me'od. Make sure that it's a beautiful structure. Okay, so this is a very, there's a lot of interpretation. That is the way the Metudas interprets this pasuk. He adds quite a bit into giving flavor to this pasuk. To read the pasuk one more time. I'm telling you all of his chesronos. He is only one person. He cannot collect all the materials that are needed. And Bocha Bayelokim, he's going to be busy. He's the Melech. Navarach, he's inexperienced. V'hamalacha Gedola. Okay, that's the fourth strike. Okay, there's really it's a very difficult project. Even if he was an adult, had experience, and wasn't busy, did not have a day job, and was able to accumulate all the money, all the materials that are needed, still it would be an impossible task to do. V'amalacha gedola. So if you read the pasuk very carefully, there are really four problems. Nevertheless, the Mitzudas Lom Shan the pasuk. Don't get any ideas to cancel the project.
To make it smaller.
Ki lo la'adam habira. Okay, the bira is not for a man. And therefore, ki la Hashem Elokim. And therefore, don't get any ideas to cancel, scale down. Now he goes to Pasuk base. Maybe that's why it says habira, because when you want to reference to a human being, so you use the word bira. Okay, but that bira, Pasuk base. Uvichol koichi ko'oimer. Now he tells them you'll be able to succeed because I've already laid the foundation, I've already laid out the groundwork for the project. I've already made a lot of preparations. Hazov lazov. Now what is this? What are these funny words? Zov for gold for gold. Hazov hachinosi al klei hazov. Gold for gold means I've set aside and I've accumulated gold for the golden utensils. V'chein kula. What else have I done? I've set aside the Avnei Shalom for the Ephod, and I've set aside the Avnei Miluim. Why are they called Miluim? Kein Yikru Avnei Yokar. Expensive stones are called Miluim because they are staff settings. You put a stone, an expensive stone, in a beautiful setting. Sometimes the setting can cost more than the actual stone itself. Today, some of the fancy diamond rings, they have these exquisite settings which cost even more than the diamond. Kein Yikru, what? Kein Yikru Avnei Yokar Al Shem Shem Malim Es Aguma Heosui B'Mishpat Sois, with special materials L'Hoyshev Oeven, to set the stone. Birtzosi, furthermore, what else besides the fact that I've taken all of the state assets and earmarked them for the Beis HaMikdash, I've also given a significant donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Birtzosi Bavur Shani Merutzu V'Chavetz Beis Hashem Hine Yeshli Ot Segulim Yuchenes. I also have my own private treasure of gold and silver. Nosati Gam Oysa LeBeis Hashem. I've given it to the Beis Hashem. L'mala, above and beyond, Ratzlaim and Noyset Al Kol Asher Achinos Simios LeBeis Hashem. More, I'm giving this in my will, in my last will and testament. I'm giving over my private treasure, my private Swiss bank account is going to go for the Beis HaMikdash. This is the best fundraising technique. You can't do better than this. We all know in fundraising, if someone calls you on the phone and says, I'm collecting for an institution, I just work here in the office, I'm trying to make a few extra dollars, they pay me below minimum wage, maybe you can give a donation of $100. So what do you say? Alright, maybe I'll send them a check of $18. But if you are a multimillionaire, right? Bill Gates calls you up and says, you know, I want to I want you to make a donation. I'm giving $50 million. So don't you think maybe you can at least give $20 million? It works. The way to the ultimate fundraiser is the Gevirim. Someone who is very, very wealthy, when they call you up, first of all, their name, their prestige, and they say to you, I believe in this cause. I'm giving for this cause $1 million. Maybe you also can give $500,000. It works. But if I call up someone and say, I'm giving $18, maybe you can give $1 million. Hang up the phone. Right? Okay. That's how it goes. That is exactly, David is the founder of Fundraising 101. David was the ultimate fundraiser. That's exactly what David says. David says to Klal Yisrael, we got a big project here. We got a big project. So how does David fundraise? How does David market the Beis HaMikdash? He says, look what I've done. I've made all the preparations, and guess what? I'm giving $1 million. I'm giving my private treasure. So don't you think you also can do something for the Beis HaMikdash? It works. This is tested. This technique always works, and David HaMelech is doing it. That's what you see. David knows how.
Moshe didn't go out and say.
Because he didn't have. But Moshe, for the Beis HaMikdash. More than he needed. Moshe, v'amalocha ha'yisadayim, dai v'ha'yisad, v'amalocha ha'yisadayim, Moshe didn't do it. I hear what you're saying. So alright, it's a good point. Moshe did fundraising, and Moshe himself, that we don't find, gave this idea that Moshe, I'm giving over all my private assets. It's a good point, I don't know. But here... No, we learned in the previous program that all of the princes, all of the wealthy people also gave. But here, David is making a campaign. I'm giving $1 million.
But she gave last, right? Remember that waited.
Right. That was to the Mishkan. They were criticized for that.
Right.
They were criticized, even though they said we'll give matching funds. They were criticized for that. That's not a technique. Yeah.
They should have ponied up first.
Right. They should give first, and then you can have a match. You have to do both. Yeah.
By Moshe was different. They just left Mitzrayim with more money.
Uh-huh, okay.
So there was no problems fundraising.
Okay.
He's not asking for money. What he's saying is, I have the money, I have the deep lay, I have the workers, I have the blueprints.
I'm also giving...
Don't think that I'm gone, so...
Right.
You do the job because I...
But he's motivating them.
And I prepared it for you.
He's motivating them. And the ultimate is, I'm giving money. I'm also giving away my private treasure in order that it should be accomplished. So David is very, very serious. Okay, let's see.
The Beis HaMikdash, how many menorahs they had?
We discussed this. The menorah, there was one main menorah. And then there was 10 more menorahs that flanked the center menorah. And then there were other menorahs scattered throughout the entire Beis HaMikdash. Once they had the original, Moshe didn't know the first. Once they had the first menorah, they had a model. They had a prototype. Okay, let's look at the next words. Lamalami called. Furthermore, let's go in back to the Mesudos. I'm giving, here's the amount of money that I have in my skula. I'm giving 3,000 talents of silver, of gold. And what is the gold and silver that goes of 3,000 of gold, 7,000 of silver? And what are we going to use this for? We use the plate, the walls of the Beis HaMikdash with gold and silver. Latoach, choyzer hu al azov, kiloit lo, Kilo Tuchum Bekesef. It refers to, it's going on the go. And it says, according to Pasuk Dalet, okay, I mentioned this point. In Pasuk Dalet, it says, Shloish Alofim Kikrei Zav, Mizav, Oifer, Veshivas Alofim Kikar Kesef, Mizukok, Mizukok. And then when the Pasuk says, Lotuach Kiros Habotim, what is that going on? The Pasuk begins by mentioning gold and silver. It concludes to plate. So is the plating being both gold and silver? The Mitzvah says no. When it concludes, Latuach Kiros Habotim, it's only going back on the gold. L'Choyzehu Al Hazav Kilo Tochum BeKesef. He did not plate the walls with silver. And the silver was used for other purposes. That when it says here kesef, it doesn't mean silver. It means another type of gold. There are many types of gold. There's zav ifir, there's zav tohar, there is
white gold.
All different types. And here we have another gold that is called kesef. Kesef, you don't call gold kesef. Kesef means kisuf, and kesef means also to embarrass. The word kesef in Aramaic is translated, and I don't know how to pronounce it in the right way, the right form, it means to embarrass. The gold that David donated was so pure, was of such high quality, anyone who had gold in their possession was embarrassed to present it in the presence of this type of gold. It's garbage. When you see what real gold is, and then you look at your gold ring, you're embarrassed. It's an embarrassment. So that's what when it says over here, he gave 7,000 kikar kesef mizukok. It's the ultimate refined gold that was so pure, it brought embarrassment to all other gold in the world. So it's another form of embarrassment. Which caused embarrassment, kol hazav, all the forms of gold. Now, Pasuk Hey, it says again this funny term, gold for gold, silver for silver. In the previous Pasuk, when David made this statement, he said, I'm giving you gold for the gold Caleb and silver for silver Caleb. Here, what does it mean, gold for gold? Es hazav, lichle hazav. Same thing here in the Mitzvah, this is the same thing, I'm giving gold for the clay zav. Again, he's giving, I'm giving my personal gold for other utensils of gold. All of the things that need to be done, I've already given over into the craftsmen. The craftsmen have their assigned tasks, what they need to do, and just push them along. According to the Mitzudos, David is now making an appeal. He's now speaking to Klal Yisrael, and he's saying, anyone over here that can offer their time and service to the Beis HaMikdash, come forward. Amar elamdim lefanav mi bochem mitznadev ma lechanech es yado hayom beseis nedav l'Hashem uchoimer me'ata hischil lesnadev al bein habayis. David here is making the appeal. Mi mitznadev is a code for asking people, you know, we don't have enough. Even though we have, it appears that we have a lot, we can use a little bit more money and more service. Anyone that wants to mitznadev l'malos yodo, come forward. Let's look at the Rashi's pasuk aleph. So we have to go back to this word echad. Echad ko imer v'eich yuchal acher lo'isik chayin rav. Echad lo'isik. I'm sorry. I'm reading the mitzvahs. Let's go back to the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk aleph. Shloima bni echad v'afilu im hayu meya. See, not like the mitzudos. My son Shlomo is one, and he cannot collect all of this money. Now I take it back. It's not exactly different. Similar. V'afilu im hayu meya lo dai livnoso v'od shehu nar v'rach. Even if my son Shlomo, I had 100 sons. Even if 100 sons, they would not be able on a derech hateva to succeed in building this space hamikdash because the task is too great. Okay, so the Rashi is saying similar to what the Mitzudah says. Even if he was 100, he would not succeed. Amoch gedolah v'yim toimar takdin habayi. So here's where I told you where it came from. Maybe when I'll die and you look at what's going on, this little kid, 12 years old, and the amount of money and labor that is necessary is beyond our means. So we'll say, you know what? We'll scale it down. If you will suggest, takten habayi ze'yev, sho ki lo la'odem habira, ki im la'Hashem elokim ha'godol v'hanoira, asher lo yichal kiluhu ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim, even the heavens, and the heavens of the heavens cannot sustain him, v'af al pichein, al t'bohil libnos habayis godol kazed, do not be afraid to build this massive structure, ki ani b'chol kuchi hachinosi, because I've already done for you most of the work. I prepared the base l'kim hazov halazov v'akesef l'kesef l'vichodif ein l'chotorech kodol kolkach. It's not so hard. You can do it. It's funny. You know, it's interesting that today the base hamigdash and today's standards would be a very small building. It would be nothing today compared to these major, these unbelievable towers and structures, and shopping malls. For those days, the standards of the time, it was humongous, exactly. But it's amazing. I mean, today's standards. You think of what we go to a shopping mall today. the shopping mall today is probably 10 times the size of the Beis HaMikdash. And
you just look at a house in the East
20s. You don't have to go far. Okay. Avne Shoham Umiluim. Dugmas Hanishkan Avne Shom Vyavne Miluim Avne Puch Varikma Vukhlev Nikara Loses Bikiros Hazov Vukhleha Kesef. Mufarish here is something very interesting, and this I didn't even see anywhere else, that they put stones in the walls. Okay, you don't. I don't think you come across this. We learned that they plated the walls with gold. That's enough, Kath. You have plated walls with gold. They put stones in the gold as well. That's what it says. They used Evan Yukara, Lase Spikiros Hazov, in the walls of gold. They put gold, the special stones. Va'avne Shayish, marble. What are they need marble for? Leha Amudim, for the pillars. There were many pillars made from marble. The Shulchanos, Leritzban, for the Shulchanos, for the ground, for the floor and the tables. So it says the Shulchanos, the tables, and I guess that were used for the meat preparation, were made from marble. Avne Shayish, marble counters, not stainless steel. Not like today, the FDA would not approve of this.
We said that they haven't had a place in the East.
They needed marble. So why don't they have stainless steel? I guess they didn't have stainless steel.
Gold is not strong. Gold is actually weak. That's why
soft. Yeah. Gold is soft. It's also, it's not healthy.
When they built in Yerushalayim, now the Meira, they figured out halachically that inside there is a metal framework. Because if they would build it straight out of gold,
it would collapse.
It would bend.
Right.
So they put a metal framework,
okay,
and then they put electroplating,
yeah,
a very thick coating of gold.
Uh-huh.
And according to the halacha that they are now analyzing, it's mikshah echad, because you're not chopping, forming it. It's one electroplating. It's actually
okay.
A piece of
all
gold.
Right. Okay. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have that technology.
Right.
There's a how to work. How with a branch is able to stand?
It was a nest.
Okay, all right. The oyber it's so bebeis elokai. How much is that menorah worth? Do they have a value on that menorah? Do they have a value or dollar amount?
It must be, because they said how much gold they put on it. I don't remember, but they
each menorah people.
There's an institute in Israel that has all the kelim ready for the Beis HaMikdash.
The weight going down to the.
They have clothing for the kohanim, and they have all the kelim all ready to go.
There's a guy in
Borough Park. He's the guy.
He's a miniature.
Okay. The oid okay. Pisroi meroi v'rtsonish rotzisi bebeis lokai, because of my great desire, I made a segula. What's a segula? Kavatzi li kavutza zav v'kesef, I gathered much of gold and silver. Mezukok lovon mezukok libon harbe, purified. Libon means it's been refined. Latoach yiras abayitz ve'ein adam yochol latoach shum davar lo b'kesef lo b'zav ki yimshiyeh mezukok. If you want to use gold as a plate, it has to be a special type of gold. That's why it says the gold was mezukok. La'zav l'kesef l'kesef l'chumolach unesat bi'ar ha'charoshim umnim v'zesh asher hachinosi l'beis ha'migdash v'yavok mishakivatzi kol zos umibuchem shemisnadev l'malos yidei hayoim l'Hashem. Even though I have done all this, I still need more people to come forward and to donate. L'havi zav v'kesev v'chol davar l'bein dugmo kol nediv leiv heviu chach v'nez. We find by the Mishkan, they brought chach v'nez and different types of pieces of jewelry they brought for the Beis HaMikdash. L'malos dugmas m'leisa yad adon v'yad bonav m'leisa to use your talent, Malaysia, to fill up your hand. Whenever you accomplish something, it's called you fill up your hand. The targumai the sacrifice of carbon, the iron, he brought a carbon, he brought a donation. We have the targum translates the Malaysia to give a donation. Okay, before we conclude, just one radak. The radak here says that when it says in the pasuk that my son Shlomo was rach v'nar, was he is very weak. The radak, let me just find the pasuk. Pasuk Aleph, okay. Nar Varach. My son Shlomo, he's Nar Varach. Look at the Radak. Nar Varach. Amru, ki ben yud be shana hoya Shlomo kishamolach. He was 12 years old at this time. Ki ba'osa perek, how do we know this? Kshosa perek, shenolad hu, misapa inyan amnon vitamar. V'oymer v'ayhi lishna sam yamim v'ayu goyizim lev Shlomo. It says in the pasuk the time Shlomo was born, the ma'aseh of Shlomo being born after he married Bathsheba, and the first baby died, and then later Shlomo was born. That occurred in Tanakh and Sefer Melachim exactly at the same time as I'm saying Sefer Shmuel, exactly the same time with the ma'aseh of Amnon and Tamar. When Amnon, he raped his sister Tamar, and then it says right after that event, so that's the birth at that moment when he was born. That's what's made clear in the psukim there. V'ayhi lishna sam yamim. It was 2 years later. V'ayu goyzim li Avshalom. 2 years later was the rebellion of Avshalom. V'harag Amnon. Avshalom. Not Avshalom went and he killed. He waited 2 years since the ma'isa of Amnon and Tamar to take revenge for his sister, and he killed Amnon. L'Avshalom v'harag Amnon. He killed Amnon, and then Avshalom ran away. So how old is Shlomo at this point in time? 2 years old. Shlomo was born the same time when the mice of Amnon and Tamar occurred. 2 years later, Avshalom murdered Amnon. Ubarach legesher legoshur, and he ran away. Avshalom had to run away to this place called Gesher. V'hayasham shloisha shanim. How long was Avshalom in exile from his father? 3 years. So how old now is Shlomo? 5 years old. Harichamish shanim. V'shav Avshalom Yushalayim. And then Shlomo made peace with his father. He came back. V'yashav shnasayim, and he was back in Yerushalayim for 2 years. So how old is Shlomo now? 7 years old. Harei sheva shanim. Umorad ba'aviv. V'nerak. 2 years after he returned to rebuild against his father, and he was killed. Harei zev, v'yihi rov, and then that's what happened after 2 years. So again, he's still 7 years old. And what happened after he died? There was a famine. V'yihi rov bimei David shalosh shanim. So now we fast forward 3 years. That is 3 years. So how old is Shlomo? 10 years old. Harei eser. Uveshana sha'achrov. The year after the famine was over, mona David es Yisrael chsev. They scattered throughout the land for 9 months. So 9 months, approximately 1 year. Harei Yud Aleph, that now takes us to 11 years. Vishnas Moisa, and then shortly afterwards, the next year, Vishnas Moisa, he shnas Arboim Lemelech, David. And the next year is the year when David died. Tikein Hamishmaris Harei Yud Beis. So according to this calculation, when we start out at the point when David, that Shlomo was born at the time of Amnon, and then two years later, Avshalom murdered Amnon. 3 years he went into exile. 2 years he rebelled. The 3 years of famine. 1 year later, the pasuk says they went out into the fields to collect from the grain. The following year was the 40th year of the Malchus of David. That takes us to 12 years in the life of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, there must be something very significant in that, because the pasuk is relating the life of Shlomo to the moment of Amnon. To Amnon means that there is some connection between Shlomo and Amnon. Since Shlomo was born at the same time when that event happened, there has to be, what is the connection? I do not know. Maybe at some point in time we'll come across that, we'll discover that, when we learn, we'll come across that. Okay, but that for now, we'll stop here with this. 70. David was 70 years old. There's a famous medrash. David was only meant to live for 3 months. For 3 hours. And David and Adam Harishon gave him 70 years. You learned that in kindergarten. You learned that.